It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors for a new year.
Man, it has gone by fast, Sean.
Yeah, well, we're in a new year and really in the best part of deer season for sure coming up. We're going to talk about that also later in the show. Seth Maddox, waterfowl coordinator for the state of Alabama, joins us. You got that question, where are the ducks? We'll ask the guy that's in charge of that in Alabama. Yeah. We're going to say, hey, where are the ducks? We'll get into that conversation.
They're not in Mississippi either. I got a good friend of mine that hunts over there. And
heard the same thing.
They're not over there.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at that.
There's a few places now. The folks I know in Arkansas that have some really, really good places have had ducks, but they're still crying the blues for
them. Arkansas, but the Mississippi Delta
is the same bunch of ag land. But yeah, there's have and have nots. They're not everywhere right now. Look at the weather. We're going to talk about that with Seth coming up. But we got to get this started because we got to talk about where the deer at.
Yeah.
We got that question. We check in with our buddy Jay Graddick.
Or where they used to be.
Yeah, that's right. Where they at is Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Hey, yeah. Jay.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing fine. How you doing, Jay?
Absolutely good. Absolutely good.
Now, how many of the deer that have come in to Skinner's here lately have been sopping wet when they've arrived? Because, my God, has it rained.
I'm going to tell you what. I don't think as many people are hunting.
That's right.
But I'll tell you this. The deer they've brought in about the last 10 days, all this rain, have been, the majority of them have been really good bucks.
Well, good.
That is a good deal. You know, and this is something that y'all have talked about. You and Mike both had talked about on the show maybe last year before, and something that I put into my action when I'm going out and I'm looking at this rainy weather. Y'all actually said it's a good thing. Leading into a rain or right after a rain is a good time to kill a buck, especially this time of year.
Absolutely, Sean. Last year, right at the end of the year, I shot a deer that had been on, you know, I'd had him on camera 2 years. And it was drizzling rain, and I just put the little rain jacket on and started slipping through an area and got lucky enough to see him and get a shot at him. And you know, I don't know about sitting in – I've never sat in on a food plot that much when it's raining. But I think between the rain, the wind, or whatever, you kind of level the playing field on being able to slip around and hunt. And I've been doing that ever since I was a teenager.
Yeah, if you want to slip around, right now is the time to do it.
Yeah, when it's wet like that. But the other thing after y'all talked about it a couple of years ago that I've noticed, I guess I had always noticed it, but y'all put it into words, was you have a big rain, and by the time you can get out there to get in the woods, they've already freshened scrapes.
Yes.
And so y'all said, don't wait till the rain ends. Look at that radar, see the rain, get out there while it's raining, and be there while it's still raining, so right when it's over, because they hit those scrapes. They know that it got washed out, and they seem to be – bucks are real active.
Absolutely. You know, I call that my friends that know me I call that squirrel syndrome.
Okay.
Right now, the squirrels are running around having a good time playing. This rain's passed through, and all your game animals for the most part. Your turkeys are walking your roads, your open places, your deer, they get up, and they've been – you know, they've been bed down – possibly, you know, while it's raining, the front's been moving through. And then all of a sudden they get out and there's kind of I guess they're hungry and they're feeling better and there's a flurry of activity.
Yeah.
And it seems to, I mean, how many times y'all, that you've walked into the woods and it's been, you know, you're waiting for the rain to stop and you got your stuff together and went in there and you cut tracks they got to be less than an hour old and they're everywhere in a road. And y'all said a couple of years ago, here's how you solve that problem. Get out there while it's still raining and be there when that rain ends.
Absolutely. If you wait, if you're at your house and the sky breaks and the rain quit, you're about an hour late, hour and a half,
exactly
2 hours
right.
late.
That is exactly right. I still vividly remember one of the best hunting days I ever had in my life was right after a front came through. And I was gung-ho big time, and I was out there when it was raining, and I knew that front was getting ready to come through. And as soon as it came through, and right before it actually came through, I saw more deer that day, I believe, than I ever have in my life. I still remember that vividly. I was hunting on a road, and the deer was just crossing the road to the right of me, to the left of me. Every time I turned, there was a deer crossing the road. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. We, like I said, we're getting the guys, the people that are hunting. If you look on my Facebook page, Skinner's Wild Game, yesterday afternoon, a gentleman from over here in Belfast, Celeste Lazary, killed a really nice 10-point. There's been a bunch of nice bucks brought in. And usually this is kind of that dead time. Mm-hmm. Usually you don't get all these good bucks coming in this time of year.
Now, okay, I want to get your take on that because, I mean, you compare it to last year when we had some cold temps in December, for sure. We hadn't had them this year, Jay. I mean, it's been warm.
Absolutely, but I don't know what it is. That last year we didn't have as many good bucks during, you know, up to this point in time of the season. We get them early. You know, you catch them off guard that first weekend, or maybe lack of pressure that first weekend or so. But then after that, it's pretty much hunker down time. But this year, I guess this weather, the people that are out hunting have caught these bucks on their feet, and they've brought some nice ones into the meat house. I'm not talking one or two. We had a 239-pound deer brought in.
Holy cow.
We had a young man, I think he was like 10, 11 years old, brought one in, weighed 211.
Man.
And these are places that, you know, this is not these high, you know, really high-dollar management hunting clubs. These are just your average guy hunting on a good piece of property.
Are they Clark County, Washington County, Choctaw County, or do you know?
Most of our customers are in that North Clark County area, right in there, within a 30-mile circle of Thomasville.
Any of them score anything? Any of your bucks?
You know, Mike, I'm guessing there's a couple of them that would be close to 140.
Yeah, well, that's a good deer.
That's a heck of a deer.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are real good deer. A lot of them, you know, they just mature. I actually saw two older guys, they must have been 60 years old, brought in the deer. They both killed mature bucks the same day. And so they brought them in and had us do a European mount on both of them. And I looked at the teeth on one of those bucks. And, Mike, I haven't seen a buck that had the teeth wear that this deer did. It was all the way down to that dentine line,
right,
or gum line. It was all the molars on both sides were flush to that line.
So how old do you think he was?
A good old deer there now, but he didn't have a huge rack or anything. He had mass, but he's a fine buck, you know.
8 or 10 years old, maybe.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember you.
And
scored
you don't kill many of those.
You scored a deer for me.
Yeah.
Some years ago, I killed North Mobile County on the river.
Right.
Remember that deer?
Right, I do.
Scored that deer. And we figured him to be about 9. He had nothing. Almost
yeah.
Like we realized it had been hard for him to chew an acorn. For
yeah,
sure.
I don't know how deer make it that old anymore.
Well, that's what. But that, I want to get to that. Let's do this. I want to run to the break, and I'll come back. I want to talk about this because I wonder if, and I want to find out about rutting activity as well from Jay. But maybe the fact that these bigger body deer, bigger rack deer coming in, I wonder, is this a sign of the fact that maybe we're starting to see the fruits of the change in the law, the
maybe.
3 bucks, and even when it's not perfect cold weather or whatever, we just have more older age class bucks. Maybe that's what's going on.
Possibility.
And reminder, too, when the rain is still coming down, go get in the stand. Be there when it comes out. It's a plus. We're coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you along on this brand new year of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Reminder, too, the show airs again tonight and tomorrow. You got it at 11 o'clock tonight. You got it tomorrow morning at 7 and tomorrow evening at 10. And of course, the podcast, which is it gets a buku downloads, gets posted. I don't know, when we finish up this morning, we'll get it posted up as well. And continue our conversation with Jay Graddick from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Jay, where are you talking about the console area? Is that where you are?
Yes, sir. I'm right there in Thomasville off of 43 there, about two blocks. When you get to Hardy's there, go west, about two blocks there at the intersection of Choctaw Corner Road and 154 is where our place is in Thomasville.
When you turn right and then go up a little ways, and you're right there, because it's not right on the corner.
200 yards, Mike, something like that.
Do what?
Yeah, about 200 yards from that stop sign.
Yeah, something like that. So it's not right on the corner. You got to, when you turn right, then you'll see it up there. But you got to turn right to see it, just about.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's just north of that stop sign.
Right.
What days are you open?
Every day. We're open. We're open at 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 at night. If you got a deer, some of the places that our customers have are like over around Packard's Bend or somewhere up in Manifly or something like that. By the time they get the deer out of the woods, if they shoot it at dark and try to get down there, it might be a little after 8. So just call us. If you'll call us before 8 o'clock, we will wait on you to get there. Sometimes 8:30, 9 o'clock, people come in.
So all the rain that we've had this year, how does this year stack up to last year as far as the deer that you've had brought in?
As far as the health of the deer.
No, I'm talking about the amount of deer.
Yeah, God forbid Mike can care about the health.
Yeah.
We're actually ahead.
Good.
We got ahead early, and we're still ahead of last year, probably 20%.
Well, that's really good.
All right, so let me throw this in the mix. This is my question before we went to the break there. And my question would be, as you were talking about those body weights and all that, you only achieve body weight on a deer when they get older. I mean, you're not going to get – you can get a big rack on a buck with him young. But you're not going to start pushing 200 plus, 238, like you said, stuff like that, until a buck gets old. Do you see the average age of the bucks that are being brought to you getting older, or are they staying the same?
I think they're getting. I think our age class is a little better than, say, 5 years ago, 8 years ago.
That's good.
As far as numbers of 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, and somewhere in that area, I think there's more. I don't know if it's like you said earlier, the three bucks a season, if that's affected it, or lower numbers of hunters, or just what. I'll give you an example. Well, the two brothers that both killed a real nice deer, one of them was a real old deer. That property, the property that deer was shot on, was one of my customers who has now moved to a high fence place, but they hunted that place hard for probably 4 years in a row. And they gave it up because they wasn't killing any deer. And then these two older gentlemen got it. And I guess maybe they don't hunt it as much. But anyway, they killed two fine bucks. Better than anything the group that had it before.
Pressure definitely is a big thing, Jay.
It's got to be.
Yes, it is. It's a big thing. When you hunting a piece of property every day, people are retired or take long vacations, 2 or 3 weeks, and you hunting a place every day. Man, I'm telling you, I've got a friend of mine who's got 1,500 acres, and he has some pay hunters come in there and hunt. And they romp and stomp that place, and they don't hardly kill anything. One of the things, they on four-wheelers all the time, in and out, making so much racket. And some of them, they go to some places where the wind's wrong, and they just mess the whole place up.
Yeah, I'd like to put it, before you let Jay answer, I want to point out that I didn't know we were going to be able to get Jay on this morning, but look at the first question I had on my list of notes I had made for myself to talk to you about today. Deer hunting, short game versus long game. And that was a question I wanted to talk about on the show today, and that's exactly what y'all are talking about, right? Just going right now because you want to go to that stand and the wind be damned or all that stuff. Well, that builds up, right, Jay? I mean, that's
oh, absolutely. You can hunt behind a person. That's why our club is set up on areas. You have a 200-300 acre area. It's yours. You do what you want to with it, but you're not hunting behind somebody who was there a day or 2 days before that hunted it with a bad wind location, and now any deer that came through there at that point in time probably is not going to be back for who knows how long. So that impact, you can take a piece of property and ruin it in just a couple days,
or at least educate those deer. You'll hear people go, man, deer never move on the weekends, they're always moving during the weekdays, the weather must be better. I pull my camera cards and Tuesday, Wednesdays, man, we got deer everywhere. Well, that's because it takes a day or two for you to be gone for them to get back on a normal pattern.
Oh, yeah, and mm-hmm. and this rain we're having, you know, I don't know, Mike, about you, but I learned a long time ago, I shoot a lot of bucks with my bow, and the days that I would not go in the woods during bow season until I could catch just before a rain is coming or during a drizzling rain, that's when I would go around and check my acorn trees mm-hmm. and see which acorn trees had, you know, they'll start rubbing the velvet off early in the year, and they'll rub on a little old tree if they spend a lot of time there. And when I found rub under them acorn trees, I knew that's where I wanted to hunt. But the key to it was go in there where you're not leaving a lot of scent.
Right.
At least in my mind, I wasn't leaving scent because it was either raining or just within an hour or two of it raining.
And not only the rain, but not only the rain. Yeah, because that's exactly what I do when I check my camera cards, which lucky this year I've had a lot of opportunity yeah. is before that rain, not only do you get that the wash down afterwards so your scent's gone, but it's usually windy and it's pretty noisy before
Absolutely.
That rain, and you can get in there like you never were there and check that card or do whatever you want to check and get out.
Absolutely. Another thing too, if you're hunting woods, it's got a lot of leaves or briars and you just can't get to you stand quietly, pick your days where you've got, you know, a dead still day might not be the day to go in there. A real dry day and a dead still day, that combination is probably not a good day to go in there. Because going in there alone, the racket you're going to make, if you don't think you make rackets, pay attention to the birds and the squirrels. And you'll hear birds, you know, kind of like crows or blue jays or whatever. They'll make noises that they normally don't make unless there's something going on in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think it doesn't send the communication signal on down the line, you're joking yourself, because it does. It alerts everything.
Jay, I'll even take a blower and blow leaves out of the way. I've got a battery operated blower, and I'll take a rake leaves out. And yep. I've had several stands through the years that I rake for maybe 200 yards. So that yep. when I walk in and out of there, there's no way that they can hear me coming or going.
This is something you're doing in October or November? I mean,
I'll do it early in the year. But yeah. then what happens is you're going to have more leaves fall during mm-hmm. during the
you Right, know, that's what season. I was wondering. Yeah.
But right. I just keep going. Well, once you clean the path out and leaves Dang fall, years, it's not hard to clean it. You know, you can go right. in there with a rake and just a little bit and, right. and rake it back out. But, I mean, right. that's going extreme, I guess. But
no, that's why you don't kill big bucks.
But that's what
yep.
I've done.
Yeah, you know, I didn't use a wind blower, but I've cleared the path. Trust me. I think one time I saw that on a Primo's video, probably back in the 1990s or something like that,
yeah.
where they had cleared a path up to a stand. I said, you know what, that probably worked.
Yeah.
But
And that's yeah, what y'all are doing. That's the long game versus the short game. That was my notes for today's show. I mean, that's the long game is figuring out not just what's going to happen this afternoon or tomorrow morning. It's how is that going to impact next weekend's hunt, the next weekend's right. hunt, the hunts in the rut. I mean, things you're doing now are protecting the hunt that's coming up next, right?
Yeah,
instead of just what happens right. right now.
And those briars that you have to go through, you go in there and cut them out of there, you know, early
right.
in the year. Cut those briars out where you're not making noise going in and out of there. I mean, there's things that you do that you make it better. And then the most important thing on deer hunting, the most important thing is wind. If you're not playing the wind right, you're wasting your time. You can hunt a place pretty regular and not disturb anything. If the wind yep. is right, but you go in there one time with the wind wrong, you've got everything messed up.
You've messed it up, not for just that day. You've messed it up for potentially a week or two.
That's right. So
let somebody shoot a deer, and you got to go search through the woods, and maybe it didn't fall where they shot it. Maybe, you know, they shot a deer and it run off, and you got three or four people walking around through those woods. You can hang that place up for a while.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, you can see that for sure. I've
yeah.
done that. Did
and
that
cameras.
Looking, yeah.
Let's talk
yeah.
about trail cameras for a second.
All right.
These cameras are great. I mean, they are. They give you a lot of hope that, man, look at this buck.
And some disappointments, too.
But you've got to manage the amount of times that you go check those cameras. And you got to manage the weather conditions when you go check them. Because that's almost the same as hunting a place. If you don't think that you're not putting up an invisible fence walking up to a game camera across a field or into the woods or whatever, you're laying down a scent trail. And you can buy all the clothes, all the sprays, you can do all that stuff you want to, you still are leaving scent in the woods.
No, well said. And also, I mean, that's a whole other show, and we're about to run out of time, but talking about bucks and bucks, you know, people say, I got a buck on camera a couple times and no more, and you'll see that picture where the buck's looking right at the camera. You know, there's Absolutely. Some argument to be said on how high, you know, we've gone to setting cameras high and angling them down so they're not in the view, just trying to minimize. Now, it makes it a pain when you want to go in there and check a card, but it keeps it out of that. Because, I mean, how many times do you see a picture of buck looking right at the camera and then you don't get any more pictures of that buck?
Never see him again sometimes.
Now, are you using some kind of bracket to
you want to talk about high tech? Okay, here's how Washington County
limb,
I am.
A limb.
I take a limb or something, I bust it, and I leave a little bit of slack in the the cord, and
Nothing
I put it behind
that.
It. I
Nothing
put it behind it
that.
To try to get the angle down. Yeah, that's as high tech as I get. Yeah. I put a stall behind it.
It works.
That's how I do things. All right, we're going to have to talk about this more coming up next week. I got a lot to talk about with you, and I want to kind of, you know, through what you're seeing at Skinner's, watch how the rut comes in and gets rolling. Tell folks once again, they want to drop a deer off, come see you. How do they find you?
Yeah, we got a place over here in Daphne on Highway 181. It's a drop-off point here. It's actually right here at my house for people that, you know, bring their deer back in the ice chest. Be glad to drop them off for you, and we'll process. Another place is in Thomasville. It's, like I said, the old landmark is Hardee's. When you get to Hardee's there in Thomasville, if you'll turn west, follow that road around that four-way stop sign, take a right, and we're right there on the right. And a lot of people up in that area know about us. We've been there a long time.
All right. We'll be checking back in next week, seeing what comes in between now and then.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great week, and I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Jay
Graddick checking in from Skinner's Wild Game Processing. Coming back, where are the ducks? Seth Maddox is going to try to answer that question. Well, it's what he gets paid to do for the state, so we're going to ask him that question because I'm still scratching my head. They can't all be in Missouri, can they? Also, we'll talk about those high water. It's affected the northern part of the state. Down here, Berry steam plant going over 13 coming up.
That's strong.
A high river here. High river. We'll be right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors and Happy New Year. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. Yeah, we're talking during the little bit there with Jay and during the news break about the river stages out there. Berry steam plant reading goes off the chart at 13.3 at Berry.
What's the highest you've seen that?
Probably 13. This may be 2 years ago. We had a really big river, and it might have been 12.8 or 13 right in there. This is probably bigger than I've ever seen. I got a camp on the Tom Bigby. South of Bates Lake,
right,
and in that area, and this probably is going to be. And now that number is probably going to keep going up.
That's
going
to adjust. That's what I was getting ready to ask.
Well, we were wondering. I mean, my partner in the camp and I, he and I were talking. Said, you know, this may go a bit higher. Now, one thing is, it takes it longer, and it's more floodplain when it gets to the Mobile. Claiborne, Alabama, at Claiborne's 50 plus going up. Leroy was 29 something on the Tom Bigby. You'll have more, you know, faster flooding on the smaller rivers that come into those, and then those rivers come up. By the time it gets to the Mobile, it's a slower build, but it stays up longer. And I mean, this is on the fishing side, and we're going to talk hunting here, but on the fishing side, talking to Captain Bobby Abrascato on Thursday on the show. I mean, it's. There's fresh water the whole way down the bay to Dauphin Island. I mean, the trout are going to be stuck kind of Dog River, Fowl River kind of places. You can find plenty of redfish in the marsh, but anything bay or anything outside the rivers are shut down.
Yeah.
There's fresh and muddy out there, so take that into account. And with that, he's going to say,
what about the ducks?
He said, Sullivan, why are you calling me to talk about this? Waterfowl coordinator with Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. Seth Maddox joined us. If we didn't have an issue of where the ducks were before, Seth, now we got them spread out over a whole bunch more floodwater. Good times.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Seth.
Yes, indeed we do. The ducks are spread out everywhere, spread thin, to tell you the truth. So it's been a pretty rough season, warmer than usual, tons of rain, and so there is water across the landscape, and so there's a lot of habitat available for them, and they're taking advantage of it by spreading out and getting in these places that are normally not open to them.
Yeah, I want to get in. We're going to talk about where the ducks are just in a general Alabama sense and in a general sense, but it's not every day I have somebody who knows the stuff Seth does on the air, so I'm going to ask. You know, I've always wondered about this. As a guy that you know, grew up here but got to make many a road trip, slept in many back of a truck, and hunted in Arkansas and Mississippi, and chased ducks for a lot of my years before I had wife and children, I always was, you know, we were going to look for fresh flood water. When we'd be in Arkansas or Mississippi, we'd look at the Cache River, would hit this, or Sunflower River, Mississippi, hit this, and we knew we were going back to the freshest area that new water was inundating. It was good. New ducks came in, and we killed them. Back here at home, that's the opposite. When the river comes up, I almost just think it's time for me to go deer hunting and give up on the ducks, because it's, we don't seem to have those kind of hunts, Seth, here, like where there's, this is new flooded ground and now all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of ducks. Maybe it happens up there in North Alabama, but down here it seems to work the opposite.
Yeah, I think you get a lot of fast moving water, so it kind of hurts a little bit. But even in the places where you have shallow water, typically when we get this much rainfall, we just don't have that many ducks because it's a warmer season. You know, these fronts coming through push the warm weather in, and typically we have less ducks in these really big high rain events seasons. So the ducks are usually a little north of us, I guess, which tends to be the case this year as well.
Well, you know, that's the thing with the state of Alabama being as long as it is. Being in your position and being waterfowl coordinator, I mean, what's happening here in southern Mobile and Baldwin County is going to be, to me, a big difference between what's happening in Limestone County or up in North Alabama on the Tennessee River. And, there could be two different stories in our state. So let's go up north here and tell us, has it just been tough up there, too? Because I know it's been tough down here.
Yeah, it's been a pretty tough season up there, too. The birds just haven't quite made it the full migration down to Alabama yet. And then what birds we do have, they're spread out everywhere. There is a ton of flooding up there as well. And there's not many birds in the area of North Alabama. So it's been a tough season up there, as I know it has been down south.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this question. I have a little trouble hearing you too, but I'm going to ask you this question then. If they're not in North Alabama, they're not here, probably not in between. Where are the ducks, Seth?
It's a good question. You know, I talked to many of my colleagues in the flyway, the 14 states in the flyway, and a lot of the northern states had good seasons early on in November, but they froze up early in November with those cold fronts we had. And then after that, they were kind of in those mid-latitude states, Missouri, Tennessee, finally made it down to Arkansas. But they kind of sit in that area, and we've had a bunch of rainfall since then, so the birds are really spread out. Many of the states are having below average seasons as far as waterfowl hunting goes, and so I think with all the rainfall, there's a ton of water on the landscape nationwide, which are spreading the birds out.
So we're the two things working against it: more surface water, more places for them to be, and a lot less weather that would either make that water turn into hard water and get frozen up, or move them south. That's not happening. I've been asking our staff meteorologists here at the radio station. I keep, we'll be doing the regular forecast and for normal people, kind of, do you need an umbrella and all this stuff? But I'm slipping in, Seth. I'm going, do you see anything in the long range that shows some kind of polar outbreak or something like that? He's like, no, not yet. So.
Yeah, the jet stream has been high in the U.S. this year, and so there's no cold weather. It's been holding the cold weather up north, and so it's been tough. I mean, far north, like Canada and just the bordering states along the U.S.-Canada border. So it's been a tough season across the U.S.
One of the worries, when we get a year like this, this is why it's good to talk about these conditions, what's happening to the north, because it's easy not to pay attention to what's happening to our north with flooding or warm weather and just assume. And I'm not saying that I'm completely in either camp, but you'll hear this is going to start in the next week if it hadn't already started. They're all being fed up in Missouri. They're all being fed up in Illinois. They've got ice eaters keeping the water open, and all those ducks aren't, their duck season's ended and they're not getting shot and they're not moving south. That's not exactly accurate.
No, I don't think it's accurate at all. There's a lot of factors going into play here. This is nature we're talking about, and we can't control nature. Human beings can't control nature. And the weather has a big factor in that. And so the ducks are going to do what they want to do, no matter what's happening. And especially when warm weather, they're going to sit and be happy and with all the water on the landscape, they're going to spread out and have plenty of food to eat, natural and planted vegetation. There's not much we can do about it at this time.
Talk about our situation down here, and also, but before I do, I hate to even do this because I know I'm shooting myself in the foot, but I got to be honest here and to remind folks that we have some draw hunt opportunities, even for those of us from down here in the dirty south of Alabama, to travel up to places in the north where there are planted crops and wetland management going on. I was looking at pictures from, I think it was Crow Creek, a couple of the hunts y'all put up there. Number one, the black duck is, I think, the only puddler that runs in our flyway I've never killed. I've always wanted to. And looking at that picture and those mallards, they did have, y'all had some good hunts at that area before, I guess, this flooding came.
Yeah, we did have a really good hunt up there. The first hunt didn't take place until December 15th and 16th, so we had a two-day hunt that weekend, and it goes every weekend for through the remainder of the season. So that first weekend, you know, there had been no pressure on it before that, and so the birds that were in the area kind of were just free to hang out there, was unpressured. So I think that first hunt went really well.
Are y'all doing, is that doing any ag in there, or is that all moist soil?
Currently it's all moist soil. We went in there earlier this year and took out, we did some tree mulching and stuff, so we opened it up a lot more than it was the previous year. So I think it's doing a lot better this year. But currently it's all moist soil management.
Okay, so this is, and once again, I have a little trouble hearing you, but this is something that a draw hunt, that when we're talking about the draws for deer hunt and all that, we keep mentioning there's waterfowl draw applications, so people can look for this later this year and get in on that.
Yeah, actually we've already had the drawing for the whole season this year.
Right, I'm saying for this coming, for the next duck season.
Yeah, for next season, we do the drawing in September, and so go online to outdooralabama.com and you can apply for those draw hunts, whether it be deer, turkey, squirrel, or even waterfowl. So
the waterfowl thing, that I just thought was neat. It gives people an opportunity to go up, and at least for us that are marsh hunters down here, or you know, we're flooded bottomland hunters, it's a different kind of, not a lot of moist soil and ag hunts here on public land.
Yeah, it's a different kind of habitat up there in North Alabama. We have a lot more control over the water, so it gives us opportunity to do some things that we can't do in other parts of the state. But we are looking at some other parts of the state to do some of these opportunities, and in the future I think we'll have more draw hunt opportunities in central Alabama, maybe south Alabama, to spread the wealth out among the hunters. And so I think in the future we're looking good at doing some more hunts like this across the state.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that going forward with y'all and some of your plans down here in our area with what we have now. You know, most people listening to us right now are going to be, if they're hunting here locally, they're hunting along the causeway, they're Mobile Delta and Mobile Tensaw Delta hunters. You know, I've made two hunts, I think, this season, and oddly enough, we did get a push a couple weeks ago, and it's nice, you go by the refuge and look at the birds. They weren't, just like you said, without having a bunch of cold weather, they're still feeding some, but there's no big driver for them to feed frantically. They can just kind of loaf for the majority of the day when it's like this.
Right. So, you know, another factor involved in them feeding is that there's no cold weather, so they're not burning energy as much as they would in cold weather trying to stay warm. And so there's no need to gorge themselves on food every day or every hour of the day so that they can just drive their body temperature up. Right now they're just sitting there fat and happy, really.
Did see saw a mix down there in the refuge, not just of our perennials, the grays, but in addition, some canvasbacks, and the scaup were there, and a couple of redheads. But it got a conversation going. I don't know if y'all have seen anything on your end. My best buddy and I, we've been duck hunting the causeway since 86 or something like that, 87, and we've seen a lot of changes. But one of them we've talked about it at length the other day. We don't see the green-winged teal here during the season like we used to. You could say it's just anecdotal where I am, but there's a lot of people talking about this down here. You know, the gray ducks are the same percentage or whatever, but it seems to be that we don't see the green wings like we used to. Is that the story statewide, or is that just down here? What are you hearing?
Somewhat statewide, but you get flushes of them. Last year we had a really good season for green wings, especially in North Alabama. We had a lot of green wings up here. But I think that the habitat has changed a little bit down there in the Delta area. A lot of stuff is starting to fill in. A lot of timber is starting to fill in.
Mm-hmm.
They really like that open habitat, very shallow water. They're the smallest dabbling duck in North America, smallest duck in North America. So they really need shallow water to be able to feed. They can't. They don't dive under to get food. They tip up to get food, and they feed kind of on the water surface. There's no food available. No shallow, real shallow water available. Then you know they tend to find some other place to go.
Well, maybe we're not. Yeah, we're just not holding them for as long. We're coming right back. We'll talk more about where the ducks are because I know where they aren't.
Yeah.
That's more about where they are. And we'll talk about that with Seth Maddox when we return right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you here on this first show of the new year.
How about that?
Yeah, good stuff.
We've got another year going, Sean. We've been doing this a long time.
You know, we'll have to figure out how many shows we put under the belt. This has been decades, over a decade of you... Decade and a half. You've been doing the show, I don't want to say, 3 decades?
I think 22 years or
something.
Okay, 22
like that. Years. And I've been here, what, so 17 of them or something like that.
Yeah.
So, holy cow.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, let's not worry about that. Old stuff. Let's talk about something fun.
Ducks.
Although I don't know if it's a fun conversation either because we're trying to figure out where the ducks are. And Seth Maddox, waterfowl coordinator for the state of Alabama, talking to us about that. Okay, so the ducks. We're not having a great season, but you said earlier, Seth, that the people to the north that you know, maybe in the early season shot ducks, but now they're crying the blues too.
Right. Yeah. A lot. Most of the seasons are closed down up there. They close down, you know, late December, and as you come further south into Missouri, they start closing early January. But you know, you mentioned ice eaters and feeding up north.
Right. Right.
That's what a lot of the hunters in the south blame. No migration of ducks on, but in the north they blame it on different stuff. They blame it on spinning wing decoys and stuff like that, and so that's what's causing them to flare ducks or move ducks further south. And so hunters across the nation have different perceptions on what's causing the lack of ducks in their area.
Okay, wait, I got to ask you this. So the spinners, the running spinners. They're saying that is affecting their duck season. Why? Because we're killing them all down here over spinners, or what?
I guess basically the premise is that it's pushing the birds away. It's flaring birds, I guess, and pushing them further south. It's flaring them from the areas where people would be using them.
Okay, wait a second. You got to help me out here. So if people have ever looked at drone video or flown over here, now I can go through a discussion of. From the first time I ever used a spinning wing decoy where I actually, for a moment in my life, felt sorry for ducks. That was a year or two of some fantastic shoots. But if you fly over, if they come up there in North Alabama and fly over Wheeler Refuge, right, with a drone, there's the flashing of wings is 24/7. That's,
right.
I mean, and so that would be scaring. Come on. It can't be scaring. I mean, now maybe getting shot over them, I can agree with that, pressure, but just the actual flash?
Right, yeah, it's all you know, just perception of what's going on. They need something, you know. Hunters need something to blame a bad season on, and so people have different concepts of what that is across the nation.
And I want to ask you, kind of, this is maybe a broader scope question, but as we talk about the decline of hunters out there, license sales going down, those issues out there. I will, at the same time when I do that, say, sure as heck doesn't look like it when you go duck hunting. You know, it seems like over the past 3 decades of my life or however long I've been hunting around here, that there's more pressure or, you know, is that – what is the state – what do the actual numbers show? Are there more duck hunters than before or less? Or?
Yeah, we're in Alabama for sure. There are. We've increased about, I think it was 78% in the last 10 years.
Jeez
Louise. So we went from about 12,000 in 2007 to we had a little over 30,000 hunters last year.
Ding, 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 ding. Where's my belt? That I would attribute. You want to attribute something, y'all? And I mean, I welcome all hunters. Now we got to work together as a group. But that's got to be my number one. No wonder we got to do things to regulate pressure. A 78% increase in duck
hunters.
That's
strong.
Right. Yeah. And that's why we've made a lot of our changes on our WMAs because we currently. We just don't have enough habitat to support that number of hunters. We're working on that in the future, and it takes some time, and it's a process to get through. But currently, you know, we had to regulate the pressure on our WMAs, or we wouldn't have duck hunting wouldn't be good.
Yeah, and y'all got to realize, you know, people listening, you'll catch the virus in Alabama, but you're going to have to get the cure long term somewhere else. The two states I've always said, Alabama and South Carolina. guys that grow up here and gals that grow up here duck hunting. We got good enough duck hunting that you get into it and learn about it and like it. But if you have time and the ability to travel, you're going to have to probably go somewhere else, usually to our west, to get that itch really scratched. I mean, I know there's some places in North Alabama that have them like that, but day in and day out, it's kind of tough to do that kind of hunting here.
Right. It's hard to bang out limits every day you go hunting in Alabama, for sure. It's not always. We're at the end of the flyway. We're at the tail end of it, so we have a lot of things working against us, but it's pretty good here, for sure. It's a great place to start, like you said. So I think we've got the best of both worlds. We have it's kind of a hidden gem in the state of Alabama as far as waterfowl hunting goes. Even though we are one of the only states in the flyway that has increasing number of waterfowl hunters, a lot of states are losing hunters.
And we're gaining.
We're gaining hunters. Yep.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Over the past couple of years, we've kind of leveled off around that 30,000 hunter mark. But we're holding steady right at that 30,000 hunter mark.
But I'm picking my hat up off the floor, Seth.
That's a
78% increase
lot.
In 10 yeah. years' time. That's it's great to have a number because anecdotally we've said that, but we never had the real number on how much it had increased. We always said, man, there are more boats this year at the launch. Next year, more boats at the launch. More boats at the launch. So
right.
It is true.
Yeah, there definitely has. I saw it this year. I think we have more hunters on opening day than I've ever seen at in some of our areas, our public management areas. I think we may break our record this year on the number of hunters we had. We sold license to for duck hunters, so we'll see as those numbers start to trickle in. But it's a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing because each of those hunters buy a license and provide mm-hmm. more money for us to do what we need to do to provide more habitat for birds. It's a good thing. Right currently, it's kind of a bad thing because we don't have that habitat in place yet. We need that habitat. We need to put more habitat in place, but we can do it with this money that we're being provided. So I think over the next few years, we'll start to see more habitat pop up, more public land pop up there where we'll have good management for water and waterfowl and across the state, not just in North Alabama or South Alabama, but, Central, West Alabama. We'll add some more stuff, and we'll have more opportunities for hunters out there to take advantage of.
What about, put it in perspective, what about deer hunters? Is it up or down in Alabama?
Oh, it's down.
Down.
It's been decreasing for a long time, and hunting nationwide is down. We're seeing a decrease in all hunters for the most part. Like I said, duck hunters is kind of odd. It's kind of up in Alabama. It's been growing at an increasing rate for the last 10 years, but I'm not sure exactly what to attribute it to. A lot of people want to attribute it to Duck Dynasty. But that may have some effect on it, but it started before that. I think one of the big things in Alabama, we got the third wood duck in the bag in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and that's when we started we started seeing license sales jump up a little bit, and it's been on a upward trend since then.
And there's so many more questions, and we're going to have to do this on a future show and talk about it, because I want to talk about those opportunities. And I'll just say it, and you can answer if not, but along with the opportunities and extra places, which I love, I'm all aboard, on board, and want to know what I can do to help with more opportunity in areas to hunt waterfowl in the state, public properties. But people have to understand, this is just me saying it, it's me. If we're going to have those places, if they're going to continue to be good, places where you can go have good hunts, you can't hunt them every day and all the time. There's no private property. There's no incredible duck club in Arkansas. There's no place in the marsh in Louisiana you can shoot every single day, many, many groups, and not run ducks away. I mean, Seth, any comment?
I agree 100%. And, like I said, that's why we have gone to some limited days on our WMAs. We've closed down some days, limited times. And so just to limit that pressure, you see ducks on the refuge and they hang out there all day. Well, there's a reason for that. They're not being pressured. You see these private duck clubs killing birds. There's a reason for that. They don't hunt every day a week. They only hunt a couple days a week.
Yep.
And so the pressure, in my opinion, is probably the biggest factor involved in duck hunting on these places. Whether you have a good hunt or a bad hunt, the number of people pressuring that area. Even if you have one person on, say 1,000 acres, one person hunting that one day, that's still pressure. It can disturb that whole place for that entire day, and those ducks go somewhere else where there's no pressure. When you limit those days and allow them to come back in and feed and feel less pressure and they get used to it, then you can come in and have a really good hunt after that.
Well
that's
said.
That's what we're trying to do.
Well said. And we're going to talk about this more going forward. Seth, thank you for your time this morning. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you,
sir.
Seth.
All right, and we'll do it all again next week. And, yeah, we'll talk about this some more. But this is some of the, you know, conversation that's happened down here just in our neck of the woods with the Causeway. There's a reason. And how about that stat, y'all? 78% increase in waterfowl hunting in a decade.
That.
Well, I believed it. I didn't know the number, but I knew it was a bunch of folks. Now I just actually had the facts talking to Seth Maddox. All right, we're out of here. Prep Sports Report on the way next. Y'all have a great one.